And we read this. This is our, if you want to, our motto. This would be it. We read it a lot. Good thing I got this note here. Reminders: ladies meeting Wednesday at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. So that's 6:30 in the fellowship hall. Ladies meeting. We'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, we know this and quote this and stand on this, but I want you to look at it. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, the main reason we rightly divide the word of truth is not to be some big shot or think we know more Bible than anybody. The main reason we rightly divide the word of truth is this right here. Salvation. That's the main reason we rightly divide the word of truth. It's for salvation. To prove what salvation's about to the body of Christ. Go with me to Ephesians and we'll see right here where it's laid it out. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12. It said that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you are also, after you were believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13, it says, in whom you also trust after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You compare it with 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a work not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to be saved today, you're going to listen to what your apostle Paul said. If you want to be saved, Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again today. It's the gospel of our salvation. That's the main reason we rightly divide the word of truth, is to present you the right gospel. If I tell you to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and you can be saved, that's the wrong gospel. If I tell you he that overcometh, that's the wrong gospel. If I tell you to endure to the end, kingdom message, that is the wrong gospel. The gospel for us today as Gentiles is Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. Buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's a simple gospel. A man shouldn't, you ain't walking like Brother Kevin said a few minutes. You don't have to come down here to be saved. You can be saved right in your seat. You don't walk to offer Jesus. You don't ask Jesus into your heart. You don't say a prayer after someone. It's a simple gospel that Christ loved you and He went to that cross and died for your sins. That's the way you can be saved today. You don't have to do none of all that other stuff that religious teach. Trust, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. So let's see what we're saved from. We're going to, I'm spiritualizing. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 3. Now, King David's salvation to Israel at the time, a lot of times, was physical. I want you to look at it more of a spiritual practical, what I'm going to read to you. In Psalms chapter 3, and we're going to stay in Psalms for about three verses. Psalms chapter 3. In Psalms chapter 3, let's go to verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of the holy hill of Selah. I lay me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me and around about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That's the thing I want to talk to you. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. If you're saved today, it's nothing to do with you. You can't walk the aisle for Jesus. You can't repent of your sins. You can't get water baptism and think that's salvation. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Jesus Christ went to that cross and did everything He can do for you. Salvation belongs to Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you're saved and believe in the finished work of Christ. He done it all. The only thing you have to do is believe it. Jesus Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again. There's nothing to do with you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Go with me to Psalms chapter 13. Psalms chapter 13, verse 3. It says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light my eyes, lest I sleep a death. lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I like the verse, but I have trusted in thy mercy. If you're saved today, you've trusted Christ your Lord and Savior. It's all about trusting. Jesus Christ died for you. You put your trust in him. When we say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same thing as putting your trust in him. He went to the cross and died for you personally. If you've never seen it personally, you're not saved. It's got to be a personal. We talk about a personal Savior. It's personal to me. The day I got saved, March 11, 1990, I seen myself as on the way to hell. In that condition, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for me. I trusted in the finished work of Christ. Trust in him today. Go with me to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms 18, verse 46. Said, the Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I believe when you've trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, you should exalt him. You shouldn't exalt what you've done. You should exalt what Jesus Christ has done. When I go tell people how to be saved, I don't exalt myself or my church or what I believe. I exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell them, hey, if you want to be saved, Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for you. Exalt him. Humble yourselves and be exalted. Exalt the Lord. You want to exalt somebody, don't exalt yourself. Don't say, well, I'm holy and righteous and God saved me. I'm no good. I'm a rotten, stinking dog. I'm nothing. I exalt my Lord and Savior. I remember the night I got saved just sitting, laying in bed saying, praise the Lord for salvation. Just exalting him and joining in it. Look at my last verse in Psalms. I know I'm spiritualizing this, but hey, it's something we should trust the Lord. We should exalt him. And last, we should have joy. Go to Psalms 51. In Psalms chapter 51, verse 9, it says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from the presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me the joy. Folks, your Christian life's going to go up and down. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have tribulations. And some days you're going to feel happy, and some days you're going to feel sad. Some days you're going to feel mad. But guess what? You can always count on the joy of your salvation. When you're down in dumps, I see old King David, he was just like, at the end of his rope, said, Lord, restore, give me the joy of my salvation. Now, I'm spiritualized for us spiritually. Go about and think about the day you got saved. That should be the greatest day of your life. Think about it. When did you trust Christ your Lord and Savior? That should be the greatest day of your life, and you should have joy. Whether good days or bad days, you should have joy about your salvation. And that's the greatest day of your life. Joy. Joy for what Christ has done for you. Well, I'm going to talk to you. That's just my opening. But God saves us from hell and wrath. And Kevin did a great job this morning, if you wasn't here, about the wrath of God. You don't want to be around here at the wrath of God. But God saved you from hell. And a lot of people say they won't talk about hell. Well, God just won't throw nobody in hell. If you reject Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God will put you in the bottom of hell. He done everything he can do to save your never dying soul. But if you reject him, the only place you got to go is to hell. And let's look at it in Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus Christ talks a lot about hell. I looked up the word in my recorded salvation. He mentions a lot, but he talks a lot. You know, there's a hell, and he talks about it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, fear not them which kill the body, for they're able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. You ever seen them shirts people write, no fear? Well, I got news for you. They're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and they're going to fear and honor and respect him. If you're saved, you're going to bow down your knee, and you're already right now in your mind, if you trust Christ your Lord and Savior, you've done did that, but also you're going to do it again. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, think, I ain't paying no attention to that. You will face him, and there will be fear and trembling, and he will cast you into hell. There's a literal burning hell in front, underneath our feet, and people don't want to talk about it, but there is. And we don't want nobody to go to hell. That's why Kevin gets up here, Robbie, Brian, me, present the gospel. Nobody in this building should die and go to hell. and we got friends and families and loved ones, share the gospel with them. Take time. Say, well, they won't believe me. Take time and share your testimony. Share the gospel. That's the greatest thing you can do. You can keep them out of hell. Let's see what Luke says. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And it says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, as the beggar died, they carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy life receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, this is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto them, that they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Here's a man in hell, and he just wants a touch of water on his tongue. Folks, hell is a serious place. People are burning and screaming. Like Brother Brian said last week, the week before, he said people would fight and kill their way if they could get out of hell. They'd do anything they could to get out of hell. And people were burning and burning and burning. And that is a place you will go if you will not trust Christ your Lord and Savior. And then after he's in hell, he's worried about his family. He should have thought about his family before then. He's in hell, and he's saying, go preach to them now. And that's the same way we are. We'll preach to you and share the gospel week in, week out, and you just sit there and think, I know, remember when I was young, I said, I'll get saved later. When you're a young person, for some reason, Satan, I know the God of this world, you sit there and say, well, I'll do it later. I got plenty of time. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. There's people that are 12 and 13, 14, 15 dying every day in car wrecks. You're not safe out these doors. You never know when a nut will come up and shoot your family. Today, if you've never trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, trust Him. It's that simple. Christ died for you. Trust Him. And He says in this verse, He said, Nay, Father Abraham, verse 30, and He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Or Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and people still won't accept that. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Every Sunday somebody's up here preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and people do just like that. They don't believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So there's a hell to shun. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Now after people in hell, look what happens after they're in hell at the judgment. He said, and the death and the hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, after people's in hell at the white throne judgment, God's going to take them out of that and judge them according to the words and then cast them. Like you throw a baseball, he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. And the Bible says the worm will never die. Jesus Christ went to that cross and became a worm for you. And Psalms 22:6 says, but I'm a worm and no man, a reproachable man and despised of the people. Jesus Christ became a worm on that cross. And that worm is talking about, let's go right quick to Isaiah 66. We'll look at it. Go to Isaiah 66 right quick. I know we turn a lot of pages here. That's how you learn your Bible, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. This is in the millennium. This is out in the future. In Isaiah chapter 66, 24. Let's go up to 23. And it says, "It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh." The worm not die. After you're cast into the lake of fire, like Brian says, you lose your identity as a human being, as a man. You become a maggot. You become a worm. And Jesus, right, Christ said he became a worm on that cross. Everything Jesus became on that cross. If you're a liar, Jesus became a liar. If you're a murderer, Jesus became a murderer. Whatever you are in your flesh, Jesus Christ became that to save you. 2 Corinthians 5, Jesus Christ became sin who knew no sin, that we might have his righteousness. If you're going to be righteous today, it's through Christ's righteousness. You accept what he done for you, and you can be righteous in Christ. Not self-righteous, but his righteousness. Say, well, Paul never mentions hell. Well, let's see what Paul says about hell. People's always thought, well, Paul never mentions hell, so like it goes away. Let's see. I'm going to show you how you compare scriptures. Well, we just see the book of life right here, right? We'll say, does Paul mention the book of life? Yep. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Just like we read in Revelation, who wasn't written in the book of life? Well, look what Paul says, our apostle. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "And I treat thee also, true yellow folk, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement, also with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." There's the book of life. Your name's in it. If you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're in the book of life. If you've not, guess what? Your name is not. And in this dispensation, you're sealed into the day of redemption. In Revelation, you can be blotted out of the book of life. That's why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. I hear people on TV all say, well, God, you can lose your salvation. He can blot you out of the book of life. That dispensation, he could. In the dispensation we live in, he can't. If you've trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're his. You wrote in the book of life. You're sealed into the day of redemption. That's why it's so important to rightly divide your Bible, to get the right salvation and the right message to you. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Let's see if Paul talks about people that will not trust Christ. Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. It says, "Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation then to trouble you. And to you which you are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction for the presence of the Lord and from glory of his power." Sounds like to me the mighty angels are going to do something. Everlasting destruction. People, there's a hell. Paul taught, he didn't mention the word hell, but right there it's everlasting destruction. You don't have to die and go to hell. Paul says, why are they doing this? Verse 8, "In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." It didn't say they're going to hell because they kicked a cat or drank a beer or did this or that or anything in the flesh. Did not obey the gospel. If you're here today and not trusted in the gospel, not obey the gospel, like Kevin said, there will be wrath. If you, if you go through the tribulation, let's look and see what happens if you do. Like Kevin said, if you do make it through to the tribulations, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Maybe it's the next one. We'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." They wouldn't receive it. Same principle there in the first one we just read. Wouldn't receive it.
For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should be believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The reason they are damned is because they would not believe the gospel. Are you going to be damned today? Do you believe the gospel? You might have been sitting here for 15, 16, 17 years, sat Sunday after Sunday, and never really thought about, hey, am I saved? Do I believe the gospel or I won't be damned? And God said He'll send them a strong delusion. Brother Kevin did an excellent job for the last 3 or 4 weeks. You will take that mark and you will be damned. Don't think this stuff that they show on TV, left behind it, oh, now I'm going to be saved. You know, I heard them preach in the dispensation of grace, the rapture's happened, but now I'm going to be saved. You won't. You'll believe a lie and be damned. God will send you a strong delusion. I think of Benny Hinn, how powerful they are with their strong delusions and all them thousands gathered. Think about when God sends you a strong delusion. You will believe a lie and be damned. But you don't have to be damned. You're here today. Trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 8. And I'm starting to hear fundamentalists even start, because they won't rightly divide the word of truth, they're starting to tell you that you're going through the wrath. You're going through some tribulation. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's go to verse 8. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for a helmet of hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to what? Wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. We're not going through the tribulation, but obtaining salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We can edify one and comfort another. We're not going through that wrath Kevin talked about this morning. We're not going through the wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. Jesus Christ took our wrath. He became sin. He did everything at the cross that needed to be done. He took our wrath. We don't have to worry about wrath. You got these people saying, well, we're going through partial of the wrath, or we're going through all the wrath. God's not appointed us to wrath. Our hope is Him shouting, we getting up out of here. That's my hope. I can't wait for the rapture and say the word rapture ain't in the Bible. Caught up in there is. So we have hope. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it said, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Same thing. From the wrath to come, He's delivered us. We're not going to have to worry about wrath. I'm just waiting for that shout. I hope I'm out there mowing grass like I usually do, or here teaching or preaching. And God said, come up hither, and I'm gone. And today, if He saved us just like that, would you be gone? You sitting in them seats, if the Lord shouted right now, would you go be with the Lord? Something to think about. It's nothing to play around. I'm a funny guy and I cut up and have a lot of fun. But when it comes to this book, I'm very serious. And there's a very serious hell under our feet. And I'm very serious about sharing the gospel with folks. It's a serious business. Are you saved today? If the Lord shout, would you go up? Let's look in Romans. So we're saved from wrath, from hell. Let's see what we're saved unto. Romans chapter 1. We read it all the time. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is what saves us. Jesus Christ went to that cross. There's two ways I look at it. People say, well, you just preach hell because you're trying to scare somebody in heaven. If they would trust Christ the Lord, if that takes that to scare somebody to trust Christ the Lord and Savior about hell, fine. But the greatest thing is the gospel. The gospel is the power. I cannot save nobody. Brian, Robbie, Kevin, none of us can save nobody. But guess what we do? We present the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I can't save nobody, like I said. I can preach you the gospel where the Holy Spirit convicts you and you can trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about, the gospel. For it's the power of God. It's none of these men that think that they got these mean people at their disposal and they can preach all these fancy and big words. That's not the power. The gospel. Christ died for our sins, buried, and rose again. The gospel, that's what's the power. And there's power in the gospel, and you hear very little gospel anymore. Turn on your radios and TV, you hear about repenting and cleaning up and under bondage and all kinds of keep the law, but you hear very little gospel. We're living in dark times, folks, and there's very little gospel being presented. Look in Romans chapter 10. How can you be saved? Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Let's go down to verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, for God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is neither difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all, and call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved today, call on him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you see yourself as lost, call on him. It's as simple as, Lord, I'm lost. I believe you died for me. And just settle it. Settle it right there in your seats. That's how you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not how good you are. It's about his goodness. It's Christ's goodness. Call upon him. Look in Romans chapter 11 right here at it. Verse 7. What then? Israel have not obtained that which he seeketh for, but election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them spirit of slumber eyes, they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their backs always. I say then, have they stumbled, they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles who broke them to jealousy. Folks, today Israel is fallen. They're low on my. You can be saved just like a Jew today. A Jew can be saved just like you through the gospel. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to present all this bless Israel, bless Israel, bless Israel. You want to bless Israel today? Go share the gospel with them. That'd be the blessing to them. It ain't about they're higher than us now. All men are the same all the way across the board at the cross. Go share the gospel to the Jews. I don't never see a Jew. If I see a Jew, I didn't even know he was a Jew unless he told me he was a Jew. Just looks like a regular American to me. But, you know, if you want to bless Israel, that's all I hear on TV. Bless Israel, bless Israel, bless them. If they want to bless them, preach the gospel to them where they can be saved. So salvation is through the gospel. Go to Ephesians. We're saved unto, we're saved for a purpose. Ephesians chapter 1. God didn't save you and just leave you here for no reason. God called you to be ambassadors for Christ. We're here, we're saved here and left here to share it with people. Our goal is not to get saved and just heck with the rest of the world. Our goal is when the Lord opens up the door, I ain't saying go beat people over the head. Lord opens the door, share the gospel with them. Share it with your families, remember. We're ambassadors for Christ. And that's our job. That's why he left us here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us and adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure his will, to praise the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, and we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, having made known us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. If you're saved today, the Lord has a purpose for you. He purposed in himself that Jesus Christ would die for your sins. It's a purpose. You're not here by accident. All the time people won't talk about accident. What is the purpose? Look in Romans chapter 8, 28. God has a purpose for you. And I love this verse. This is, you know, this people's got different verses. This is one of my favorite. Romans chapter 8, 28. It says, and we know that the things work together for the good to them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He called us, he justified us, he's glorified us. It's a done deal. Jesus Christ did all that at the cross for us. And that's what he's done. We have a purpose. We're going to be the image of God's Son. We are the image, spiritually speaking, but one day our vile bodies are going to be changed, fashioned like His glorious bodies, and we're going to be fashioned. God's got a purpose for us out there. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. I should have told you to hang on there. Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to verse 8. This is Paul speaking. He said, "Unto me, whom is least," he said, "unto me, whom is least and least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to His eternal purpose." God's got eternal purpose for the body of Christ. Right there He says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. God's got a purpose. We're going to fill them positions, them principalities and powers. The body of Christ are going to fill them positions. He has a purpose. That's why He sent His Son in to die for us today. We're going to fill them seats out there in glory, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ for eternity. But if you're not saved today, don't expect to reign. If you don't suffer with Him, don't expect to reign. But if you're not even saved, don't expect to live with Him. If you're not trusting Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're doomed and damned to hell. But you don't have to go to hell. If any church in America today shouldn't go to hell, it should be people in this church. Every week the gospel is presented over and over again. So I sure am tired of hearing the gospel. When you come to the wrong church, if you can go down to these churches right here and they scratch your ears and tell you how good and wonderful you are, I'm not going to tell you that. Brian's not going to tell you. We're bad. We're sinners. The Bible said we're all sinners. We need a Savior. We're no good. We're no good outside of Christ. The only good you have is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only goodness you have in you is Christ in you. And it's His righteousness and His goodness, not ours. The last, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "It's for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaches that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts we should live soberly, righteous, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Jesus Christ nowadays will have all men to be saved. Don't matter if you're black, green, yellow. It don't matter. Jesus Christ would have all men to be saved. And I know I've shared a lot about the gospel, but that's my job. Brian asked me to preach. He told me to let y'all out a quarter till, so it's even going to be better than that. But today, the gospel is the most important thing I could teach or preach to you. Jesus Christ died for you. If you're here today, lost, like I show over and over, Christ became sin. I'm using myself. I'm getting old. I was born in 1966. Got saved in 1990. And the question mark when I leave, we're rapture or death. Jesus Christ died for all my sins. And that's what He done for you. It don't matter what you've done. Say, I know friends has gotten saved here at this church. A girl got saved and another good friend of mine. They said, before they got saved, said, "Alan, I've done something so horrible, God can't forgive me." It don't matter what you've done. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you've done. Jesus Christ died for that sin. Satan's blinding your mind. If you think of something so horrible that I've done, Christ became that sin. He died for you. It don't matter what you've done, where you've been, how bad you are. Jesus Christ loved you personally, and He went to that cross and died for you. And there's no greater gospel that I can present, the gospel of Christ, that Christ loved you and died for you. If you're here today, trust Christ your Lord and Savior, have peace. You can lay down your head tonight and have peace and joy. The things we talked about in Psalms and joy, and lift up the Lord and praise Him for saving you. Today is the day of salvation. Will you trust Him? Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day of Your grace, Lord. We thank You for the gospel, Lord. We thank You for the people that are here, Lord. May they hear. Lord, if there's one, Lord, I hope You make them miserable, Lord. I hope You make them so miserable till they trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if they're all saved, it'd be nice and great. But Lord, I'm sure there's one here, Lord, who's never took the time to trust Him.
Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for my pastor, Lord. Be with him as he's preaching right now, Lord. The one to be saved. That's what it's all about. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.